sounds weird to say it, like to tell the whole world, but my mother, she was a stripper. She was an exotic dancer. Four dancers that lived in our house at all times. You know, there was a lot of drugs around. I was upset with her choices as a woman, as a mother. And I had a lot of doubts about the Catholic faith. The first was being born with original sin. How do we come into this world with a sin? We've done nothing but be born. That made no sense to me. As I became Muslim, the things that impressed me and amazed me was the love for our parents that we should have, the rights of women, the rights of women. If only people really knew the rights that Islam gives us, the status that we have, it impresses me so much with Islam. I've had Muslims tell me, if you're not praying, if you're not fasting, you're not a Muslim. And it made me lose hope in forgiveness from Allah, lose hope in keeping my religion, because my belief in the Quran and that Allah is one, Prophet Muhammad is the final messenger. My belief in that is very, very strong.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Rachel. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation. As Eternal Passenger, we are happy to have you with us. I'd like to start with, who is Rachel Middleton? Can you tell us briefly about your life?
I was born in New York State. I was born to teenage parents. I graduated. I was the first person in my family to graduate high school, the first and only person in my family to go to college. I have an associate's degree in human services. It's always been my passion to help people. I experienced a lot of trauma as a child, and from that, it always made me want to help other people. I saw people around me go through a lot of trauma. There was a time in my life where we lived in domestic violence. That was very traumatic. I'm a survivor myself of domestic violence, and I struggle with mental illness, and it made me very upset with myself. It made me lose hope in forgiveness from Allah, lose hope in keeping my religion, because my belief in the Quran and that Allah is one, Prophet Muhammad is the final messenger. My belief in that is very, very strong. I believe that with all of me. It's my practice. So I hold on to whatever I can do because my belief is there. I truly, truly believe. I've had Muslims tell me, if you're not praying, if you're not fasting, you're not a Muslim. And that hurts because I believe the further along in my journey, you know, it became a struggle. It became harder. So my practice fell off.
What would you like to suggest to someone who has traumas and is trying to find a solution like you?
First, of course, therapy. My belief in Allah, the way Islam helps me now with my trauma and dealing with my trauma, the Qadr of Allah, my belief in the Qadr of Allah, I know that was the plan. I've gotten strength from it. It's a journey. It's such a journey, mental health journey and healing from trauma. It's a long journey. And what I've learned in therapy is that how often the trauma continued and how long the trauma continued and how traumatic or how violent or bad the trauma was affects your healing. And so it's a journey.
How was your life in regards to faith? Did you have any faith before?
I did. When I was growing up, I was born into a Catholic family. My mother and her siblings didn't practice, but my grandmother practiced very deeply. And she taught me about God from the very beginning. And I went to Catholic school until second grade. I went to church every Sunday with my grandmother until about 8 years old. And it was strange for me because my grandmother believed so much and she was such a beautiful person. And yet there was other people who didn't believe and had a hard time with the religion. So it was confusing. But her love for Allah was so beautiful that I felt it. I considered myself Catholic until I took my Shahada. I wasn't a practicing Catholic, and I had a lot of doubts about the Catholic faith, but I always considered myself a Catholic. If you were to ask me before I took my Shahada if I was Catholic, I would say I'm Catholic.
What was your view of Islam back then? Did you have any prejudices?
The first was being born with original sin, right? That made no sense to me. How do we come into this world with a sin? We've done nothing but be born. I had a hard time telling a priest my sins, right? That made no sense to me. And I had a hard time praising Jesus, praying to Jesus. To me, that having to go through Jesus to pray to Allah, for me, that made no sense. I felt like, am I not good enough to pray to God? Why do I have to go through Jesus? So those were things always that I had a hard time with, even as a young child.
What was the thing that made you question your beliefs? Was it an event or a thought? And when was it?
My early 20s, I remember for Catholics, we go to church on Christmas Eve. And I went to, I didn't live in New York. I didn't live with my grandmother. I didn't live in the same city as my grandmother. I moved to another state. And so I went to church with a friend of mine who was Catholic. My brother, who is biracial, I asked him to come to church with us. And he said he didn't feel comfortable because it was a bunch of white people. And then when I got to the church, I saw it more, right? I paid attention to it more. And I saw people, it was more like a fashion show. And who knew who, and who dressed which way. And I know not all churches are that way, but that was an experience that I had at a point where I was already feeling unsure about Christianity. So my parents were very young. My mother was 15 and my father was 17. They divorced probably, I think I was 4. My father was not in my life for the most of my childhood. It was kind of like in and out. And then there was a long period of time, maybe 10, 12 years, maybe about 10 years, that he wasn't in my life at all. My mother remarried my stepfather. That's when my life got even more chaotic. It sounds weird to say it, like to tell the whole world, but my mother, she was a stripper, so she was an exotic dancer. A lot of the dancers, we had 4 dancers that lived in our house at all times. So that was very, you know, there was a lot of drugs around. I was exposed to sex, a lot of sexual stuff early on in my life. Then my mother, she divorced him. It was a very violent relationship. My mother experienced domestic violence from my father as well. I love my mother. So we did have a period of time where I was angry with her, probably from the time, honestly, from the time I was 13 to 30. I was very angry with my mother. I was upset with her choices as a woman, as a mother. I became very bitter and upset with her choices and how I was raised.
Have you ever experienced anything that led you to Islam?
Reading Malcolm X's autobiography, my exposure to Malcolm X, right? It made me question and it gave me exposure to Islam. When I read his book, his autobiography, it started making sense to me, right? No original sin. We only pray to Allah. All men are equal. I grew up in a very multicultural family and I've always been aware of racism. I grew up as a teenager, in Allentown, Pennsylvania. A lot of people in the 90s were wearing X symbols, the necklaces with the X on it, because there was maybe like a revival of Malcolm X and Nation of Islam was starting to grow. People were learning more about it. By the way, Nation of Islam was my first exposure to Islam. And I was taught that it's a religion for Black people. I always spoke out against racism and prejudice, and I always was an ally. Like I said, my first exposure was the growing of Nation of Islam in the inner city that I was living in. Then I saw the movie Malcolm X, and when he went to Mecca, that was the part of the movie that really spoke to me.
What impressed you the most about Islam?
Initially, again, was all people are the same, equality. Yes. As I became Muslim, the things that impressed me and amazed me was the love for our parents that we should have, the rights of women, if only people really knew the rights that Islam gives us, the status that we have, you know, as a wife. That really, really, I think is so beautiful. And it impresses me so much with Islam. Allah teaches us how big our role is, how much we should be respected. The Prophet Muhammad, when a person went to him and said, who should we love more? And he said, your mother. Allah is more merciful than your mother. How merciful is your mother? And it's compared to, you know, Allah's mercy. We're taught that it's even bigger than your mother's.
In your opinion, what's the most significant and obvious difference between Christianity and Islam?
We don't pray to Jesus. We don't worship anybody or anything. We very much love Jesus. Alayhi salam. Jesus, you know, is talked about in the Quran so many times. You know, his mother has a whole surah. You know, we have very much love and respect in Arabic, Isa, alayhi salam. You know, may Allah have mercy on him and bless him. I don't think people know that in general, how much love we have for Isa, alayhi salam, Jesus, and how respected he is. So I don't think people know that. And that's our biggest difference, right? We know he's the prophet.
What aspects of Malcolm X's journey to Islam and his views on equality resonated with you? How did they shape your view of Islam?
Watching Malcolm X go from living a life of crime and drugs and all those things to a life of purity in Islam, right? That spoke to me because I saw him turn his life around. That really spoke to me. I knew that life, right? And then I watched him travel through his journey and he became purified, strong in his faith. When I first watched at the beginning of his autobiography or the movie, you know, he was very much anti-white. And I understand. If I was a person of color, I would be too. It's hard not to be prejudiced or feel some resentment towards white people, you know, and I have no white guilt, but it's hard. You know, I could see why the resentment he had. And then as his journey continued in Islam, he found out the equality. Here it says in the Quran, you know, Allah says it. And so he's got, not only is it as human beings, we should feel that it's everyone is equal, but now there's this book.
What do you think about racism in US? Are there still people whose lives are in danger because of racism?
I think that probably in some cities, in small towns, in small American towns, right? I live in an area where there's actually a growing refugee population, so we have more Muslims, right? And so I don't see the hate here like I saw when I lived in the South. I lived in the South for a little over 10 years after I became a Muslim. I think that there's definitely still hate about Islam. I definitely, after 9/11, when I lived in the South, I was uncomfortable wearing my hijab. I didn't always feel safe when I was wearing my hijab. I hear things in the news about women beaten up or their hijabs being pulled off. After 9/11, we saw an increase of it. A couple years ago, we saw an increase in it. I don't remember what the incident was that started off again. Oh, there's definitely still prejudice against Muslims here in this country. Very much so. Very much still stereotypes about Islam in this country. And it's so sad.
How did you feel when you took Shahada? Could you describe that moment in detail for us?
It was amazing. Honestly, wallahi, it was, I found the truth, right? I found the answer to the universe and I wanted to tell everybody because I knew, I learned why good things happen to bad things happen to good people, right? I learned the reasoning, the meaning of life, why we're here, what we're gonna face in the end. I learned of Allah's mercy, right? And his knowledge and his wisdom, how much he was there with us. Yeah, it was overwhelming because I found the answers to the universe. I felt like, this is it. I was with friends, family friends. I was introduced to them from my ex-husband. He was from Syria. His wife was American. And they would talk to me about Islam. And it just all started making sense to me. But they were patient with me in taking my Shahada. They were very patient with me. And then one day, I don't even remember what they said. It just made sense to me. I was like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. And he said, okay, we have to have a witness. And I took my Shahada, you know, and the welcome into Islam. I felt like I found the truth to life.
Some new Muslim brothers or sisters can't follow all Islamic practices right away and may feel hopeless. They might feel very lonely and face judgment from others. What would you advise them to do in this situation?
Don't let go. Don't let go of your faith. I have my own struggles, right? Islam is a complete way of life. And sometimes people who convert aren't aware of how complete of a way of life it is, right? I didn't realize it before I became a Muslim. It's hard to adapt. But it's a journey. It's a journey. And if you try to do too much at one time, it's going to become overwhelming. So take your time. Only Allah can judge us, right? So Allah knows our heart. Allah knows our intentions. So hold tight to that because it's a struggle. It really is a struggle, especially if you're the only Muslim in your family. You're the only Muslim of among all your friends, right? The majority of your friends are non-Muslims. So it's a struggle. You know, you don't want to give up your whole family. You don't want to give up all your friends that you've known. But hold tight to the belief in Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasulullah. Hold tight to that. Don't let that belief go. Hold tight to your belief in Judgment Day.
How did your family and the people around you react to your conversion to Islam?
It was difficult. It was difficult initially. My family, the only thing my family ever knew about Islam was from the news, right? Oh, we're afraid of them and the people with the scarves and they're violent. So it was difficult. There was a lot of stereotypes. They definitely, when I was wearing hijab, had a hard time with me wearing hijab. They had a difficult time with me. Not so much not eating pork as much, but not celebrating holidays. They have a very hard time with me. They've come to respect it and they don't have such a hard time with it. It was difficult. You know, being the only Muslim in your family is very difficult. And I know my family loves me and they support me, but it was very hard for them because it's different, very much so, even to this day. Honestly, alone in the world, right? But Allah's with me. This I know. I'm misunderstood by a lot of people, but Allah understands me. I try to, and it's very hard for me to do this, but I try to remember that Allah says to live in this world as though we're travelers.
I've had opportunities to be in a relationship, but they weren't Muslim.
Right? And I'm not going to be in a relationship with someone just because they're Muslim. I've been alone for about 8 years now. And my family knows it's a struggle to be alone. I live alone. My children are grown. They're gone. And my family has a hard time that I won't be with somebody that's not Muslim, right? They believe that I should just accept somebody who's good to me and that loves me.
And there's someone that I very much care about.
And there's someone that I very much care about. Respect as a person, as a friend,
as a person, friend.
And as much as I care about this person, as much love as I have for this person, he's not a Muslim, so I keep my distance because I know Allah.
He's not a Muslim.
So yeah, it can become very, very lonely.
How did you manage to keep your faith in a non-Muslim country?
Yes, I live in a non-Muslim country. I'm the only Muslim in my family, but I know it's the truth. And that's what keeps my faith, because with every single piece of me, everything in me knows Islam is the truth.
If you could go back to when you were 18, what would you like to say to 18-year-old Rachel?
I'd want her to know her worth. I would want her to know how precious and sacred her beauty was and to not give it to just anybody, right? When I was young, I would tell young Rachel to know that your body's precious, you're of value, you're strong.
What's the verse in the Quran that has influenced you the most?
Allah says, for the people that work righteousness and do good deeds, Allah is going to reward you and admit you into Jannah. So for me, because of my daily practice is so bad, I hold very tight to that. And it gives me really, every time I read that ayah, it makes me feel really like, okay, there's hope for me. And there's hope.
If our Prophet, peace be upon him, entered the door right now, what would you like to say to him?
And I'm sure I would cry. I would ask him to intercede for me on the day of judgment. Ask Allah for my forgiveness. Because I know that Allah tells us, you know, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has that ability to ask for our forgiveness. So I make dua for the Prophet every day. And I pray that he will intercede for me with Allah on the Day of Judgment.
After witnessing what is happening in Gaza, many non-Muslims have become interested in Islam. How do you see the future of Islam in the world?
I see it growing between Gaza and social media. I think every country is kind of in a bubble. We only hear, we only learn until social media. We only knew what our news outlets taught us about other countries and other people. Social media now, we're seeing it more, right? People are learning more. People are hearing the truth. People are hearing the lies and the hidden agendas and the propaganda put out against Muslims, right? So I think Islam is getting more exposure. People are learning more about the beauty of Islam. People are wanting to know more about these Muslims, where even though they're being oppressed, are still strong in their faith. I think people want to know about those people. How are they able to do that? So I think Islam is growing, inshallah. Yeah, I think we're getting, even through a bad, you know, such an ugly, horrific way, I think we're getting a lot of exposure now. And social media is helping get rid of a lot of stereotypes and myths.
Recently, Netanyahu came to US, you know, you might have seen this news, and Congress members gave him a standing ovation. What do you think about this situation in US?
I heard the news, like I read the headlines. It makes me so angry and so sad that I couldn't watch it. I didn't want to see it. I'm so frustrated with my government. I love my country, right? There are so many good people, good-hearted people in America. I love my country. My government, I'm angry with. I am so, so angry with and embarrassed. Now that even the Democrats, they don't care about my Muslim brothers and sisters. I don't want to vote anybody in office who's going to continue to allow Israel to do what they're doing. I don't want to have any part of voting somebody in office who's going to send bombs to kill the people of Gaza, the Palestinian people, you know, send with my money, pay for weapons to commit genocide.
If you had the chance to speak Palestinian women, Palestinian mothers, what would you like to say to them?
I am so sorry, and may Allah give you the strength to endure. May you find peace and comfort in every time you're reminded of him and his promises, and may you remember him and his promises often. And I am so, so sorry, and I can't even imagine what it must feel like. And I pray for your strength and your continued belief in Allah. Ameen. Don't lose hope in Allah. Allah is with you, and if your reward and your ease doesn't come in this lifetime, you will definitely, definitely be rewarded in the next. And please hold tight to that, because Allah does not put you through any trials and tribulations without award of rewarding you. You know, keep your faith. Allah is with you. He has not forsaken you. To Today I was interviewed by Eternal Passenger. It was very humbling for me to even be asked to interview. I hope that my story helps somebody who is a convert. I hope my story helps get rid of some stereotypes. And I'm very thankful and grateful that you all chose me to interview. I'm very humbled. So thank you for this opportunity. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Sister Rachel. It was such a pleasure to meet you. I hope your story will inspire so many people. Assalamu alaikum.